From the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, Prescribed Duties for Mankind, text, chapter 16, text 34. Jita keturvacha ajita jita samamati bi sadubir bhavan jitatma bir bhavata vijitas tepi chabajatam akamat manam jatma. Do tikaruna. O unconquerable Lord, although you cannot be conquered by anyone, you are certainly conquered by devotees who have control of the mind and senses. They can keep you under their control because you are constantly merciful to devotees who desire no material profit from you. Indeed, you give yourself to them. And because of this, you also have full control over your devotees. So, ajita jita sama mati bi. Conquering the unconquerable Lord. That's the business of the sadhus. Sadhubir bhavan. That's the consciousness of the sadhus. That's their meditation. I was thinking there have been sadhus since time immemorial. There always have been sadhus. From the beginning of creation, there have been saintly persons. And it's from saintly persons that the whole universe became populated. And so again and again, the sadhus have assembled. Again and again, the sadhus had the same objective, the same aims. It doesn't matter whether we are electronic sadhus or whether it's the forest of Naimisaranya, or anywhere in the region where the black deers roam in the forest, right? The black antelope. So we have Nilgai in Vrindavan, the black antelopes. It says in the Manu Samhita that a sadhu should stay in a place within 8 miles from a body of water, and it must be in an area where the black antelopes are roaming about. So we have everything. So auspiciousness must be there. We look for auspicious places. Ajita jitta. One can conquer, but one must be samamatibi. The mind must be equipoised, which is difficult. I mean, even in Bhagavatam, this is highlighted as a difficult feat to accomplish. And then, mandasvamandamatiho mandabhagya yupadruta. In this age, the mind is always agitated, always disturbed. So samamatibi is not possible through a mental adjustment. It is not possible that we just by philosophy or by thinking are going to make the mind peaceful. It will not be possible. It is even in the tradition. It's mentioned Balavan Indriyan Gramo Vitvam Samapikarsati. Even the saintly persons, even those who are very knowledgeable in philosophy, they also struggle. So that is there, to make the mind peaceful. The mind has to be absorbed. Our acharyas describe the stages of devotional service as Sravana Dasa. The word Dasa here means stage or period of time, just like in astrology, you know, like my Rahu period, Rahu Dasa. Right? So the Sravana Dasa, the period of Sravana, or of hearing, followed by the period of Smarana Dasa, meditation, followed by Apana Dasa, the period where one becomes established in one's eternal identity. The stage of Sravana Dasa, Jiva Goswami describes, is the stage of continuously hearing and chanting. So it is this, the essence is on hearing. Like Prabhupada said, attentive chanting is to hear oneself chanting. It's there where the mind connects. Also in trying to chant. Chanting is an interesting thing because on the one hand we are doing something and we're chanting not for our personal gain if we do it right, right? Not for our own interest, we're chanting for the pleasure of the Lord. So it's an offering in a way. We are making our offering by how we are trying to nicely chant, whether that is japa or kirtan, same thing, as an offering. And then, at the same time, the Lord, He manifests Himself within that. Right? And then it turns into a darshan, because the name is none different from the Lord Himself. So somewhere along the line we were making an offering and next moment we're getting the darshan of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord. So this is a very mystical element in the chanting of Hare Krishna. This element of the offering and the element of the darshan of the Lord. And both are there. Ajita jitta, to conquer the unconquerable, samamanibhi. Samamanibhi means senses must be controlled. If the senses are not controlled, we are not going to get much further. We will just remain in a state of struggle, constant struggle. But if we want to go beyond, and we hear and chant constantly, as much as possible. That is what is said. The acharyas say as much as possible. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took this very serious. I mean, he just like saying, like, Sankhipurva Ganama Gandhinatibi, we are counting our rounds. For what reason? So that we know that we're increasing. And he said we should gradually increase it to 3 lakhs of names. That was okay. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur did that, and then he gave the same beats that he chanted on the 3 lakhs of names to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. But it's not that only through 3 lakhs of names will one attain that mercy. But somehow or other, yena tena prakarena mana krishna nisevyat, to absorb the mind in hearing chanting and other service and hearing and chanting. So hearing and chanting as much as possible. Then the hearing is, I sometimes say, it's like the oil of the lamp of chanting. Right? Because by hearing about Krishna, we naturally develop some appreciation, some attraction to Krishna by hearing about Krishna. The more we hear, so this is the idea of hearing about Krishna. Name, fame, qualities, lila, tattva, it's all there. After all, we understand it's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, not any other mantra. Although in any other mantra there may be names of Krishna, names of Radhe, names of Shamasundar, Govinda, Murari, so many names may be there. And each of these names have their potency. 23rd chapter of Jiva Dharma, there Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives an extensive description about the name. And he says there is the primary names and secondary names. Primary names are directly referring to Krishna in his eternal pastimes, whereas secondary names refer to Krishna in temporary activities in the material world or in the Tatastha region, such as Jagatpati, right, the father of the universe, or such as Srishtikarta, the one who makes the creation, one who does the work of creation. These are kind of names that are secondary names. And then primary names are the names of Krishna in his eternal pastimes, which also take place here on earth. Govinda. But even if one chants primary names of the Lord, there certainly is potency, but not the same potency as when they're chanted in the Maha Mantra, because the relationship in the Maha Mantra is of course the essence. The service attitude of the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure-giving potency in Hara, in its dative form, becoming Hare, and then Krishna, Krishna, Krishnatu, Akarsan, to attract. Krish comes from Akarsan. So of course, we've heard this so many times. But I tell you, once I was in Kanpur, and I was in a university, and I'm giving this lecture, and suddenly there is a... it was a Sanskrit college. And suddenly, in the middle of... towards the end of the lecture, this man begins to breathe very heavily. I knew he was going to say something. You know. So, and sure enough, you know, that's just, oh, ecstatic symptoms, oh, you spoke so nice because you spoke about the Krishnatu. And he says, Ka for Kala, Ra for Rakta, Sa for Sukla. Tri Yugi Narayan, Tri Yugi Narayan, he says. He says, all included in the Krishnatu. So, I said, I thanked him very much. I said, yes, it's very correct. Thank you very, very much. It's very nice. Like, it's true. All these, Krishna is avatari. He is the source of all the avatars. They're all included within him. I said, but our acharyas, they give even a more wonderful explanation. They explain this Krishnatu as meaning akarsan, to attract, and na for anant, for great happiness. So then the man even got more ecstatic and said, oh, your explanation is better than mine. And but it's not mine. It's Jiva Goswami's explanation. So it is like that. It is very rare. It is rare. It is sudurlabha. It is rarely attained. But now so easily given. So we take it cheap. And Ramanti yogino nanditsachananda chitatmani iti brahma padena so param brahma vidyate. It is referring to transcendental happiness, transcendental to the three modes of material nature. So Ram is the result from serving Hare Krishna to serve Krishna. The result is transcendental happiness. Well, that is one meaning. There are so many meanings, obviously. So, ajitta jitta, to try and conquer the unconquerable Lord, is the effort of the sadhaka, who's trying to get the transcendental experience, who's trying to rise above the mind, controls the senses. But Krishna is not a passive entity. It's not just about conquering Krishna. Krishna is also active. In the Gayatri Mantras, he is established as a transcendental Cupid, as a Kamadev who is shooting flower arrows. So when Krishna is just like Cupid, Cupid is also described to shoot flower arrows. So Krishna is Kamadevaya, Pushpabanaya, is the essence of that Gayatri Mantra. There are two Gayatri Mantras that deal with Krishna in his Vrindavan pastimes. First one is describing how Krishna is very dear to the residents of Vrindavan, Gopi Janava. And it describes how he is the beloved of the residents of Vrindavan. So basically it puts the emphasis on the devotees who are loving Krishna. And that's their absorption. Loving Krishna, conquering Krishna, attracting Krishna. But the other verse, the next verse, is describing how Krishna himself is making arrangements and attacking the devotees, or is trying to somehow or other attract the devotees, conquer the devotees. Just like the flute. When Krishna plays his transcendental flute, that of course is Krishna reaching out and Krishna capturing others, others' hearts, others' minds. Yeah. And everyone, of course, all the living beings are captured by the sound of Krishna's flute. Like the acharyas are saying that there is no question of music when there is no flute. Right? And that is not a flute which is not played by Krishna. So it's interesting. So that sound is something else, something extraordinary, something
Naham prakasa sarvasa yoga maya samavita. Avrita, covered by yoga maya. Only hear noises. No flute. What to do? So one has to come to this point. So by hearing we begin to understand a little bit how Krishna is eternally trying to capture the hearts of his devotees, who are eternally trying to capture his heart. I very much like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 4 the description of Radharani, whose love has a competition with Krishna's qualities. And Krishna has unlimited qualities, and each time when she discovers another of Krishna's qualities, her love embraces that quality, and then she discovers another quality, and again her love embraces that quality, and it just shows how her love is eternally increasing, how it never reaches sort of a level, just eternally increasing. And obviously that's not only Radharani, that's for every devotee. I mean, and we've already started that, and basically that's what's going on. We're discovering Krishna, and with it, you know, little by little our love is increasing, little. It is interesting that it says the Madhyam Adhikari Prema Maiti Kripuvekshi Yakaruri Samadhyama, that it says he has prema for Ishvara, Ishvara Tadadinesu Prema Maiti. For Ishvara he has prema, he has love. Not full-fledged, but something. Some love he has. So that is interesting. That the word prema is used, right? Not any other word. Some ruchi, could have given him ruchi, to the mother of the car. It's not funny. But not praying, that's for Uttama. No, Bhagavatam. No, because this is Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Bhagavatam is more generous. This is not. Praying is there. But obviously in a seed form, in the beginning form. But it's nice because it doesn't make Krishna, it doesn't make out Krishna Prem to be something so alien, you know what I mean? Something so high that we, due to the clouds, cannot actually see it. I never knew there were clouds. Just see. To make it more cool.
Spiritual sky.
No clouds. Is there clouds in the spiritual sky?
No clouds.
Can be. Anyway. So little by little, by hearing, by serving, by making a sacrifice. Like the sadhus, what was it? Sadhubir. Sadhubir. Sadhubir bhavan jitat matir bhavata. So the sadhus are always in that consciousness, trying to conquer the Lord. So that requires austerity. Narada Muni went to the forest after hearing from the Bhaktivedantas, and he sat down under a tree, austere. He meditated, austere. Dhruva meditated, austere. So that is austere. So austerity, sacrifice will be there. When that sacrifice is there, yes, then when Krishna is pleased only, then one can, yes. Vichitas te chapa Vijitaste api chabajatam. Those who are always worshipping, or always engaged in service. Singing for who? For Krishna. Or to bring people to Krishna. To connect people with Krishna. That is the fun. Akamatmanam. But no motives for material profit. No motives for recognition. No motives for fame. Just for Krishna. So that is nice. Then Krishna will give himself. Atmada. Atmada. He will give himself. Because he's merciful. So, this merciful aspect of Krishna is very important. Because, see, the more we appreciate Krishna's merciful nature, to be merciful says something about the state of the heart. So, speaking here about the nature of Krishna's heart, we can become attracted to Krishna's beauty, stunned by his unlimited beauty, and just look at him again and again, lotus eyes, lotus feet. But the thing that captures me the most is Krishna's merciful nature, because Krishna is unlimitedly kind. So it shows that brings out, naturally brings out love from the heart. We see how kind Krishna is. So it is important to contemplate Krishna's merciful nature and to more and more appreciate how Krishna is merciful. It is said, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Karaha Vichara Vichara Karita Chitta Pava Chamatka, that if we meditate on how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is merciful, then we will surely be amazed. Amazement will awake in the heart. Chitta Pava Chamatka. So that's very important, because after all, the more we appreciate how kind and merciful the Lord is, how generous He is, how magnanimous He is towards us, for the little things we've done, what did we not get? Just imagine, here in Vrindavan, we are here in such a place. Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to say to me, "You don't know how fortunate you are." And of course my mind was going, yeah. But we are very fortunate. Krishna is so kind, he gives the spiritual world. It's like, I often think about that Krishna thought to himself, there are those living beings who have turned away from me. Things are not complete without them. Let me do something for them. Let me give them some mercy. Why would I give them some mercy? Why don't I just give them all the mercy? Why would I hold back and give them only some? I'll give them all the mercy. And next moment, he placed the spiritual world in the material world. How it mathematically fits, that
three quarters, the tripat vibhuti fits into the ekapat vibhuti. That, you know, I leave up to the mathematicians.
But Krishna did it. He did it. He put it in. So that is something, you know, like when I think about that, then I don't just think that Krishna is supplying us with mercy, which in reciprocation for our service, but even causeless mercy. And what quantity of mercy, you know what I mean? That there is such a place in the material world. I just sort of stumbled upon this place, and I was kind of, someone had told me about Vrindavan. That was Krishna's place. So I went after reading the Gita. But I didn't realize that it was the spiritual world. I didn't know that. I just know, okay, some holy place. India is full of holy places, you know. Everything is holy in India, you know. Holy river, holy place, holy cow, holy everything. What's not holy in this country, right? So, okay, you know, holy place. Yeah, let's go to a holy place. Nice, right? So many holy places, you know. Holy, holy. Yeah. But when I came, I could see, you know, something is different. But in my... although I sensed it, that it was not an ordinary place, my smaran wasn't there. I had no knowledge. I had not heard. So hearing and chanting and making a sacrifice awakens more and more remembrance. And the more the remembrance grows. Now we're not talking immediately, you know, that we have to remember the Ras Lila and so on. First, the mercy of the Lord. Right? Let us think about the mercy of the Lord. I once did a study on mercy, and found that different Sanskrit words are used in the scriptures. One word is daya. Daya means the general mercy, which is mostly the word is used in that context. Well, sometimes it's the general mercy that the Lord makes available. Give that to me. Then the word karuna is oftentimes used in a more personal way. You know, give this mercy to me, karuna. Give it to me. Not always. Sometimes these two are mixed. Right? And anukampam, tateinukampam, susamipsamano. Anukampam was another word. That was also referring to mercy. And then in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the word for mercy is prasad. Right? There, anytime you read the word mercy, it's all prasad. That's the word, prasad. Right? So of course, prasad is mercy, but that's like the devotees are. That's the advanced stage where everything is becoming prasad. Right? But, you know, you've got to be quite advanced to appreciate everything as prasad, you know. I mean, we are still kind of selective, right? This prasad, yes. That prasad, that's okay. I mean, Raghunath Das in Jagannath Puri was eating the leftover prasad, the rice. Somehow or other, even then, you know, the rice was left over. It's still like that in Puri. You know, you get all these pots with prasada and this and that. And always rice left over. Yeah. So even then. Anyway, so the mercy of the Lord, gradually we appreciate that the mercy of the Lord is at the center of everything. Because the mercy is His love. Right? His beauty. It's simply another aspect of his mercy, of His love, and of His nature to capture. Mm. So behind it is all this love and this mercy, actually. Mm. So little by little, as our understanding of Krishna is growing and getting deeper, our Smarana Das is developing a little bit. And naturally also, our chanting gets another dimension. It becomes more meaningful to chant then. Then we are not restless. Then it's not difficult to control the mind. Then it's not a battle, because then the mind is engaged, the mind is attracted, the mind is naturally preoccupied with Krishna and is eager. Oh yes, yes. Then it's no longer the melody, you know. Then it's the Nam itself. Yes. Or as Prabhupada said in the beginning, the devotee enjoys the service, and later, Krishna directly. Later he gets the inspiration, the taste comes from Krishna directly. Anyway, so Smaran is developing deeper and deeper. So at first, recollection. First, just Smaran. First, just recollection. Then, when Smaran becomes... when after recollecting more things about Krishna, some of these things begin to appeal to us.
Yeah, that's nice.
And that's also nice. Actually, so many nice things about Krishna. So then, instead of just hearing, you know, then instead of just fact-finding about Krishna, we begin to appreciate so many aspects about Krishna, and therefore they capture us, dharana. They capture us. So the next stage of Smaran Das is dharana, and we begin to contain and hold it, and they begin to absorb our consciousness, begin to contemplate like that. Get absorbed, because we develop some feelings with some of these things. They begin to attract us. So then the next stage is jhana, where these things become more and more a object of our meditation. And where we just constantly think about Krishna. Then, an important point made in the... which I think is a key, an important key in the concept of meditation, is found in the Chaitanya Chandramrita from Prabodhananda Saraswati. He explains, he said, in bhava, it's not only about us meditating on the Lord, but in bhava, the Lord appears in our meditation. So it's Krishna who begins to actually manifest himself in our meditation and become the active agent. That Krishna. So, yes, then naturally our dhyan, our meditation, becomes not just an exercise anymore, but it begins to live a life of its own. Krishna is there, and we are becoming gradually an associate of Krishna. It is. And then, of course, okay. The more we are living here in that spirit of being an associate of Krishna, okay, the more we begin to put all the weight on the spiritual side. In the beginning, we practice spiritual life with the weight on the material side. Later on, we'll practice spiritual life with the weight on the spiritual side. Then, when all the weight is on the spiritual side, then the absorption is there. Then the meditation becomes deep and permanent. Then one can approach from Smarana Das, Apana Das, the next stage, the stage of realizing the eternal identity. What happens if you die before ever completing this process? Good chance, man. The speed that we are going, is a snail ever going to reach the finish? Well, hard to say. Snails, they will they ever even get out of the first stage? Mm-hmm. So what about spiritual snails? What about them?
Yeah. Then it is Mahaprabhu's mercy.
Give the worm some flowers. Go on the flowers. Good wood. Yeah, so anyway, that's if we die prematurely, then it's not automatically the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So I'm like, well, you did not come to Krishna Prem, sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Srimatam, you know, take your birth in a aristocratic family or a family of devotees. Back, another birth, sorry, you know, try again. No, there's still the mercy of Mahaprabhu. The mercy of Mahaprabhu, he's obviously coming in the age of Kali. He doesn't come in Satya Yuga. He's coming in the age of Kali, where qualifications are less than ever. And he comes to give the topmost. Who can really, you know, even do the basics in the age of Kali? So Mahaprabhu is inclined to compensate for what is lacking. Krishna is inclined to compensate for what is lacking. Ananyaschinti antumam yajana paryapasate. I carry what you lack, preserve what you have. And Lord Chaitanya adds to that, katanshina smrite yasmin duskaram sukaram bhavet, by making what is difficult easy. And so the essence is not just what is the state that we have attained. It's not when we say ajitta jitta, conquering the unconquerable, climbing the big mountain. Then it's not that we are trying to climb the mountain of Krishna Prem. We have to climb the mountain of Krishna Prem. It's high. It's a long, long way. No, ajitta jitta means we're trying to conquer Krishna, His mercy. He is atmadate karuna. He is giving that, not that mercy. So we're praying somehow or other. Give us that mercy, even although our offering is poor, even although our desire is not so deep, even although our bhajan hardly came off the ground. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how different birds are flying on different levels in the sky, just as different devotees are flying on different levels of realization. And I was thinking, you know, yeah, and some birds don't fly at all. Yeah? Like chickens, you know, like me.
Penguins.
Penguins, chickens, they don't fly at all. And then I thought, yes, but I am a flying chicken. Yeah? I'm flying. It's against the odds. You know, how is it that I'm flying? No? This is just a flying penguin. Maybe it sounds better, more vegetarian. Flying penguin. How am I flying? By the mercy of Mahaprabhu. So ultimately, that mercy of Mahaprabhu is what we're hoping for. After we have given it our everything, not before, not while lying on our back and say, can anyone bring the grapes? and then, oh God,
really hope for the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Right? Not exactly like that. Right? But after we've given it our everything, and then we just reached our limits, you know? We just really reached our limits. We tried hard. Reached our limits, that's where we just start hoping. Oh, my dear Lord. And that's where our prayer begins. Right? After that, our prayer begins. If you pray before that, what's the meaning of your prayer? Right? If you haven't reached your limits, and you pray already, you know? Huh? Yeah, it's how would you feel? You know, someone is going, please help me. Can you please help me to get up from bed? You know, I mean, you know, do it yourself. Yeah? We feel like that. Yeah? How do you think Krishna feels if we don't make any endeavor ourselves? Krishna's going, come on. Yeah. Do something yourself. Yeah? You know? But if we've tried everything to conquer the unconquerable Krishna, then, yes, then miracles can happen by mercy. So this is the life of the sadhus, and this has been the life of the sadhus since time immemorial. It has nothing to do with external circumstances. This is the secret of secrets that has always been hidden. This has never been known to the masses, because the masses didn't want to know. It's only the sadhus, the saintly personalities, that somehow or other have assembled to hear this message. And now again, it's only the saintly persons that assembled to hear this message. The sadhus. Oh. And they vijitam by their bhajan, by they will conquer by that devotional service. So yeah. Anyway, those are the things I'm thinking about from time to time, or all the time. And like this verse, I didn't just really choose it. It just sort of came 2 minutes before I came here. Okay, that must be the verse then. Let's see what Krishna wants. So, okay, your turn.
Can you please help us to connect this verse to our 24-hour service?
No. No, I cannot, because that you have to do yourself. You see, I can only give you the verse and then give an explanation of the verse, but then you have to connect it to your own 24-hour service. That's like
okay.
Maharaj, you're mentioning about at the ends, like if we're lying in bed and saying, Krishna, please, you know, wake me up, like that. And Krishna's saying, wake yourself up. And like in the same way, we may have problems in our sadhana or our bhajan or whatever like that. And like you're saying, that we have to actually connect the dots ourselves. We have to make the endeavor ourselves.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Krishna's not going to. He's not
going to
be interested.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Krishna may, you know, I mean, he may be an extremely merciful day and a very blissful day, and it's like, anyway, there you go, you know. Like, but it's risky to bank on that. Better, unless you try and give it our everything. But in the end, the mercy is definitely there. And that gives hope to try and really give it our level best. Because
Otherwise, the task is too big. You know what I'm saying? If we have to be 100% perfect, then I have to climb the mountain of Krishna Prem. I don't know if I'll do it. I don't know if I'll make it. I'm not sure. I'm already getting old. And I tried. You know what I'm saying? I tried, you know. I came here, yeah, young, like, not younger than a lot of you. And I tried.
How old were you when I was making India?
India, 17.
17.
But I didn't come to Vrindavan. That took a little longer. First Banaras. Himalayas. Not Goa. I never went to Goa. Don't want to go to Goa. When you're from Amsterdam, you don't want to go to Goa.
It's like out of the icebox and into the into the freezer or something.
Something. It's not much difference. But
Mahendra Prabhu, he would sometimes devotees would join all kinds of devotees, and sometimes they have different motives for joining the 24-hour kirtan, hidden agendas or whatever. And one time I noticed, I asked, and Anupu explained that, actually I didn't ask, I sort of like wanted him to do something, because the devotee was apparently like a slacker, wasn't really doing anything. So I asked Anupu to maybe rectify or something like that with the person. So Anupu's response was that he has a policy. It's called giving them enough rope so they can hang themselves.
Hmm.
So some devotees they last very short time, or they might last a long time if they're like slackers or whatever. But ultimately they have to realize that, like you say, we have to connect the dots, or we have to
find out where. Well, I think 24-hour kirtan is not easy, you know, because when you're not on Krishna Prem platform, then obviously there is, one has to conquer the mind, because it goes on and on and on. And, like everything, to really do it in a mood of like trying to please Krishna, so not so easy. So it's not actually an easy thing to do. And obviously a lot of people get restless and may want to go. So it does require special determination, I think. So in the light of that, I can say, okay, you know, give them enough rope, so you know, they can hang themselves, means in this regards that, okay, some people are not meant for this program. It doesn't mean there's no program. There's another program for them somewhere else, but not this one, because this one requires it requires commitment. It requires that one at least understands, you know, we are greatly blessed that we are can chant here in Vrindavan. That, look, that our whole existence in the material world has become so simple. Can you imagine the complexities that everybody has? You know what I mean? Look around. People have to make so many arrangements. Why? Just for their mind. Yeah, just because their mind is driving them, whipping them. Endless, big, big arrangements they have to make. And somehow or other, you don't have to. Okay? He came here. It's all here. So it's a rare opportunity that life can be so simple and that you can just do such direct activity. Yeah. But of course, then you still have the mind. Yes, I got, you know. Is this all we're going to do? Just chaining? Yeah, I mean, is this all we're going to see? Just temple and temple again? And action in the NVT. But, you know, it's not the most exciting either. Yeah. So it's limited. And yeah, the MVT comes too much into the foreground and the kirtan goes into the background, and after a while you go to LA or somewhere like that. Alachua. With all respect to Alachua.
It rhymes with Atachua.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Atachua to Krishna also in Alachua. But I prefer Vrindavan, definitely. A million times over Alachua, with all due respect.
Any other questions?
Or comments, or...
You were talking about the Kripa. So I was thinking that there's generally read about two kinds of cities, Kripa city and Sadhana city.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that Kripa city is very usually generally rarely attained.
Yeah.
So our better bet is to go try for the Sadhana.
Okay.
So how to cope with it?
Yeah, but like in this age of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's age, this particular Kali Yuga, sometimes known as Danya Yuga, the Yuga where the Lord gives, I sometimes call it Chaitanya Yuga. It's different, right? Because the mercy element is obviously very strong. There is no such thing as sadhana siddha without kripa. Even in sadhana siddha, kripa is an important element. Damodar lila, the two fingers, one finger for sadhana, another finger for kripa. But now the kripa is tremendously increased. Yeah. But I gave warnings, you know, like in the form of the grapes, that we can't take it cheap, you know what I mean? That we have to, again, say, okay, this is the age of mercy, so I have to try. But it is a fact that in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, it's the combination of sadhana and kripa siddha, you know, very much so. So that's a special time. But we need it also. We're restless. We're not very, you know, we're so affected by the external circumstances. We're so weak. Often when I think the Bhagavad, when I read the Bhagavatam, I think of Bhishma Dev, you know, like hundreds of arrows pierced, and he's still totally peaceful. Right? He's still instructing Yudhisthira, whereas we, you know, like really like one arrow and call the ambulance. You know, like, ambulance, and I wonder what will be louder, our scream or the siren of the ambulance. So it's like we have such little tolerance, such little determination. But if we try, we have no training, austerity. Yeah.
It's like I've been on Indian unreserved trains, you know, because there's many years in India, traveling around sort of before I came to Krishna consciousness without money, on the floor of the unreserved bogies, right? But then you have these people, they can sit on a door, you know what I mean? For like 10 hours. I can't sit on a door for 10 hours. You know? That's not a yogi, that's just an ordinary villager, you know, who can sit on a door for 10 hours. I can sit on a door for 10 minutes and then, you know, a certain part of my body turns black and blue. Right? You know, sitting on the floor, I have literally on these trains, sitting on the floor, and bruises on my sitting cushions. That were not made for these kind of conditions. You know, didn't grow up with that. Yeah. So what is a capacity for austerity? Gosh, coming from the West, and modern India is catching up quick. Gradually we become really soft. I was once carrying suitcases with cash on the train as a service for some purchase of land. And so I took a first class air conditioned coach, you know. And then it costs just as much as the plane, and you're on this train and you have a bell, you know? So it was just me and one other man in the compartment. And this man, he was like sort of extremely soft. I don't know if he had bones. I wasn't sure if there were any bones inside. It was just sort of, he was draped on the seat, plop. And he had this button, right? And he pushed the button, and then the servant come and said, like, in 10 minutes the station is coming, go and see if there are any samosas or any this or that, you know. Then he sent a guy onto the platform, a servant, to go and buy him something more to eat, you know, and every station score something, you know, good, ring that bell all the time. And it just, I thought, yeah, gradually we're all becoming like that, you know. No more bones, just sort of soft, jellyfish-like. It's just pushing buttons, satisfy my senses. Yeah. Well, then, so what austerity can we take? You know, then everything is austerity. Everything. So our capacity is so little, you know, for sadhana, to go back to your path. Right? How much sadhana can we do? 300,000 names? Every day? Okay, one day, somehow or other, if you're very determined, you know, you do it. It's going to be a day, you know? A day to 300,000 names. Because goes into, like, your diary is like big page in my diary. The day I did 300,000 names. Took me 1 week to recover. The day I chanted 300,000 names. I could write a book, you know, called The Day I Chanted 300,000 Names. See myself on a stretcher, you know, like on the front page of the book, being carried out. The day I chant 300,000. What's our capacity? And then at the end, is it sadhana? Seva? And giving out the mercy, obviously. It's the Yuga Dharma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To connect others with the mercy.
That's the nice thing about the 24-hour kirtan. I mean, it's like you guys are not alone, right? First of all, these days, these cameras in your face, it's pretty obvious that you're not alone. Yeah, they block the view sometimes, don't they? Sit there in front of Krishna Balaram and sort of think.
I think they're going to phase it out. There's some mention that getting a boom or something.
Yeah, it's a bit intense. I'm blocking the whole darshan, these things. But these cameras, you're really chanting for the camera now, you know. Like,
huh?
He's sitting there, you know, the camera, smile. Famous star, come on. Who's playing? Tune in. Yeah. Publish a schedule. Fans can click, you know, see how many fans you have. Thing. Electronic autographs. But that's the interesting part about Indra, I think. He never wanted that, right? Because if he wanted that, he could have traveled. Everyone would have paid his ticket to anywhere. And, you know, his fame as a kirtan star would have reached great heights. But, no, he wanted to be here and chant for the pleasure of the deities. Of course, he became a kirtan star anyway. That's another matter. But that was not his interest. Right? That was not his interest. His interest was to chant for Krishna's pleasure. That's not a small thing. Anyway, Sadhana and Kripa combined, I reckon. Mahaprabhu. Nama Mahabhadana. Manushyanam Sahasri Sri. Out of many thousands among men, hardly one. But that's not what it says in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it says there will be a golden age and there will be only one class of men. Ekavarna Hari Bhakta. What's it going to be like, the golden age? You know, someone comes with a mardanga out of the house, someone else thinks, hey! You know, bring the cartels, you know, somehow. Let's go, you know. The local Matajis are seeing, wow, the kirtan party's out. They put the pizza in the oven. It's like, it's going to be great. And it's all vegetarian. It's going to be prasad, you know. It's just, there are devotees out there. And it was, so what that golden age will be like, just imagine. Eka Varna Hari Bhakta. No Varnasham, only Hari Bhakta. That's more than a church on every corner, more than a temple in every street. That means spontaneous devotional service all over the place. Kripa said, there's plenty of it. It's all over the place. But generally speaking, the term Kripa Siddha is used for those who are not doing any sadhana, the honorary degree in the university. That, no. But sadhana mixed with special Kripa. Thank you, thank you. Hasta la vista. Vaya con Dios.